Welcome to Goodbye Problems Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Charmaine Hemmen. Charmaine, why don't you take it from here?
I feel like I'm on a TV show with that kind of introduction. Wow. So I am so excited to be here, Tanya, and I love talking about sponsorship, and you've heard me talk about this a number of times, but let's talk about sponsorship for speakers, because as Tanya was mentioning to me earlier offline, a lot of people don't think that sponsorship is actually something that they can achieve. So let's talk for a few minutes about what we can achieve. Does that sound okay to you, Tanya, that I dive in?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, diving in. So sponsorship for speakers. Sponsorship is a marketing relationship, which means that out there in the world, there are many businesses, brands, right from your local coffee shop and your hairstylist, right up to big national brands like Lululemon and Starbucks and Staples and everything in between. And they have money set aside, and it falls under the marketing budget line item. It's not philanthropy and it's not a donation. Sponsorship is a marketing expense to a company where they invest in a project, a launch, an event, a tour, a cause. And out of that contribution, which could be cash or in kind, and in kind means things like donated or sponsored product services and deep discounts. So when a company invests cash or in kind into a project, launch, tour, event, whatever it is, they're expecting some kind of return on investment. So what they're hoping to get back is really unique. Some sponsors might want to get back brand awareness. They might want to get their new product or service out there in the world, maybe even to a new audience. And perhaps they want to generate sales. Maybe they want to do sampling. Sampling is something that you often see at events. You've all been to events where there's granola bars or some kind of an energy drink that's being sampled by the people in the room. Likely, that's because a sponsor wanted to get that product in front of someone. And one way to do that was through that event. Now, when we're looking at sponsorship as speakers, a lot of people say, Charmaine, what can I get sponsored? And the list is really endless. So maybe what I'll do is I'll share a few things that we've had sponsored, we being my company, Hemmen International, and Raise a Dream. So I have not paid for haircuts and hairstyles and color for many, many years because I have a couple of hairstylists, salons, who sponsor me looking great and feeling great. I've had my clothing sponsored, printing, lots of printing from business cards, to bookmarks, to postcards, to stand-up retractable banners, which lots of you listening have, even things like my promotional products that I hand out at events or speaking opportunities. I've had some of my travel sponsored from hotel rooms to discounts on travel rental cars. We've had gas for our vehicles sponsored, all because sponsors want to get behind a project, a launch, a tour, or event that helps them solve their problem. So is that making sense so far, Tanya? Awesome. I'll keep going. So with sponsorship, here's a few things for all of you that are speakers out there really want to know. The number one thing is to know what your value is. They raise a dream all the time from speakers. They'll say things like, Charmaine, why would a sponsor say yes to me? Or they'll say, what do I have to offer a sponsor? The number one reason why sponsors love getting behind speakers' projects is because you have an audience that they may want to get in front of. And when you're a speaker, you have the ability to talk about a business or a brand as maybe a case study, or an example in your presentation, or a story. Let me share an example of what that looks like. When we did our Million Acts of Kindness Tour, which, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's almost 2 years that we did that. It was a 14,000 kilometer, which is 10,000 miles, a 14,000 kilometer, 10,000 mile tour right across North America with one single mission. And the mission was to make the world a better place through kindness. And the reason we did this tour, my big why, was because as a corporate speaker, I speak on respect in the workplace, kindness in the workplace, and conflict resolution. Through my Raise a Dream brand, I now speak about collaboration in the workplace. At that time, we had several books that we were putting out there into the world, and they all had to do with the theme of kindness. So we created this Million Acts of Kindness tour to be a speaking, media, and book tour. So 6 weeks we were gone, and we had things from the 32-foot motorhome that was sponsored to all of our technology being sponsored, hotel rooms for the team, my husband Chris and I, and the dog Toby, can't forget the dog Toby. We traveled in the motorhome, and the team traveled with us in the motorhome and stayed in hotels. We had food covered, we had printing, we had marketing, we had events at every stop that we made, and all of these were sponsored. Now, what it looks like to have an audience or a sponsor who wants you to be the sharer of their story, of their brand, is that every time we did media interviews, you can imagine what it looked like. A 32-foot wrapped kindness mobile motorhome pulls into the TV station parking lot or the radio station parking lot. And of course, they would film that. And of course, we had all the logos on the side of the motorhome. And as an expert, like all of you speakers out there, as an expert, you have the ability to weave people's message into your story. So I actually talked about Fraser Way RV, who was our sponsor of the motorhome. I talked about what a great example this company was around engaging their employees and having values that supported kindness, acceptance, and respect in the workplace. And so I was able to weave their story into my presentation as a case study, as a case example, but also it was a great way to recognize them as a sponsor without simply saying, and we'd like to thank our sponsors, because people don't really listen to that. Stories connect people. And as a speaker, you have the ability to connect the partners, the champions, and the sponsors who get behind what you're doing. You can share their story. So that's what I mean by sharing the story. Some of the other things that we've had sponsored and why a sponsor may want to say yes to you is certainly that audience, but you also have a non-event audience. You have your digital, your online audience through all of your social media platforms. And social media is huge. So I'm just going to do a little sidestep here and put a plug out there for LinkedIn, because it is your number one platform when it comes to building business marketing relationships with sponsors. The people that you need to connect with in a big company, whether it's a Starbucks or a Staples, or whether it's the local coffee shop down the street from you, the people that you need to speak to are probably doing their business interactions and business networking online through LinkedIn. Certainly in big companies, the people who make decisions and sponsorship are not on Facebook. And if they are, they're probably on there for personal reasons, not to be hanging out with all of us talking sponsorship. They hang out and do their networking on LinkedIn. So you want to make sure you get an awesome LinkedIn profile. You want to make sure that you're really building your reach and engagement on social media, because your sponsors, your prospective sponsors, will be interested in what your offline audience is like. At Raise a Dream, we actually have a little activity that we do called Social Media Metrics, and we call Fridays our Vital Statistics Day. That's where we get in touch with our numbers, you know, how our email list is growing, what events we have booked coming up, and also what are the metrics for our social media. So social media is a reason that a sponsor might want to get behind what it is you're doing, because you have an audience that they may want to connect with. The other reason is that you're all experts. As speakers, you are experts in some kind of an industry. Whatever your topic is, you're an expert in that, and speakers are experts who speak. And so there's also the ability for you to provide education to the employees of these companies. That's what I get super excited about. when we did our Million Acts of Kindness tour, several of the sponsors invited us along the way as part of our sponsorship arrangement for me to go into their workplaces and do presentations on kindness and respect in the workplace. So that really jazzed me because as a speaker, it provided me with some new audiences, some new contacts, and certainly as a business, it provided me the opportunity to help another business. And that ultimately, at the end of the day, is what sponsorship is about. It's a marketing relationship where you're helping the sponsor and they're helping you. Now, you might be asking that next logical question. Well, what are we helping them with? Here's a few things. You first of all never want to assume that you know what a sponsor needs. You do not want to assume that they need more sales or they want access to your audience. You want to build a relationship with them so you can figure this out. Here's an example. With one of the sponsors that I met at a trade show, and I'll talk about why trade shows are important for you as a speaker in just a moment. One of the sponsors that I met who was not a sponsor at the time was a poop bag company. You got it, poop bags. I mentioned earlier we have a dog, so that's the connection with the poop bags. Now, I actually had not been thinking about a poop bag sponsor, to be really honest with you. I was speaking at a pet industry conference in the U.S., and I took the time to go around a trade show, and there was a fantastic company. And I actually went over to the original poop bags because their booth just drew me in. It was so well-branded, and in my head, I was thinking, wow, I could write a great blog about what branding looks like and take pictures of this booth and interview the people who are at the booth. That was my intent for going over. And the fact that one of my colleagues had told the gentleman running the booth, Paul, that we needed to connect. Now, I didn't know she had been talking to him about our Million Acts of Kindness tour. So when I went over and talked to Paul, we had a great conversation. And what came out immediately is that we had some very, very important values, his company and my company, that were shared values. And when you find shared values with a sponsor or company, what you'll find is the conversation progresses so naturally because you're talking about what's important to you and what's important to that sponsor. So as the conversation unfolded, and this is all happened within about a 30-minute period, Paul and I discovered that we had lots of shared values. And that we really wanted to do good in the world through our businesses. And both of us really believed that kindness was really important in workplaces and schools. Now, Paul also had another big mission. His poop bags are biodegradable and compostable, and he really wanted to share that story with the world. In a very quick period of time after that, Paul said, you know, we should sponsor your tour. And you gotta love it when those kind of conversations take place. So he said, how can we collaborate? So take note of that word. How can we collaborate? How can we work together to fuel both of our missions? And that's the languaging we wanna use with sponsorship conversations. We don't want the conversation to be about money. We want the conversation to be about how can we work together to make a difference? How can I help you solve some of the problems that your company is dealing with right now? How can we or my project or my speaking events be a way to help connect you with some of the audiences that you're looking to get in front of? So the reason I chose that example is because speakers sometimes miss one of the most important opportunities at the events they speak at. And I'm saying this because I see it all day long. I've been a speaker for 21 years and I've presented around the globe and many of the conferences, just like the ones that you speak at, they have a trade show or an exhibit area or booth. And there's a tendency for many speakers to fly in, do this incredible presentation, and leave. And the problem with that, when you fly in, do an incredible presentation, and leave, is that you've missed some of the most important relationship building opportunities. When you're speaking, go and visit the trade shows. I have met so many partners, sponsors, and champions simply by doing that. And for those of you that have ever exhibited, I know lots of you have gone to events, whether it's a book signing or a speaking event, and you've had a table or a booth. It's uncomfortable sometimes to be behind that table and wanting people to stop over and see you. And so you are so clear that you want to share your message with people, and getting them to your booth can be tough. But when you take the time to go and meet the people behind the booth, it is incredible who you'll meet. I've landed other speaking opportunities from doing that. I've landed some great friendships, nothing to do with business, just really, really good friends. I have found that people have signed up for programs, and of course, I found sponsors. So I want to go back to the example of stopping at booths to build relationships. One of the other things that was really interesting, and this is an important learning for all of you, is related to trade fair booths. When I was talking to Paul with the original poop bags, one of the biggest values that he said to my question, Paul, how can our Million Acts of Kindness Tour help you? How could we collaborate in a way that's helpful to you and your business? And Paul's response was, I need to get my product into the hands of people. This was a powerful learning for me. I had actually never given any thought to this until Paul said it. And I said, what do you mean, Paul? And he said, people do not see a program or a TV commercial or a sign or a poop bag and necessarily remember what that logo is, run down to the pet supply store, search the shelves for that logo. They need to get it in their hand. That's how they figure out which poop bags they want. Otherwise, they buy what's on sale, what looks familiar, and if it's not his poop bags, they probably don't buy it. So Paul said, our poop bags are awesome. They don't smell weird like a latex glove. They never rip. Your hand will not come shooting out the end of it. And they just feel good on your hands. They're easy to open. I need to get my poop bags into the hands of people. That's called sampling, just like the granola bar example. And I said to Paul, let's talk about some ways that our tour could get your poop bags into the hands of people. Well, what ended up happening is Paul said, we'll just supply your poop bags for you and Toby till, you know, the end of time, basically. But he also said, why don't we supply you with a ton of poop bags that you can give away at all of your community cleanups, your community events. Any families that you're meeting along the way who have dogs, you can provide them to schools for their community cleanup. And this is exactly what we did. So Paul actually created a number of events within our tour that he sponsored as part of his commitment to Million Acts of Kindness. So the reason that I'm bringing this up is that all of you as speakers have a lot to offer a sponsor. You have an audience. You have an online audience. You have a live audience. You're an expert in speaking. You have the ability to actually tell the story of your sponsors. You have the ability to get their product into people's hands. Now, it might not be like the poop bag example. It might look like this. One of our other sponsors is Elate Cosmetics, which is a cosmetic company that we love because it's not tested on animals. The makeup is awesome. It's just incredible. It's so good for your skin. In fact, I think you could eat it if you needed to. It's just that healthy and green. But behind Elate Cosmetics is a beautiful story of a business owner who is so connected to her mission. And when I speak, I tell Melody's story as a story about being connected to your why. And I share Melody's story. But Melody from Elate Cosmetics also provides me with discount coupons and really cool tips that I can use in my handout packages. So I'm actually able to share their content. Now, a couple of other things that I want to mention about sponsorship is that you really want to spend a little bit of time figuring out what you have to offer a sponsor. So a great takeaway activity for all of you listening is to write down all of the things that you could do to support a sponsor. Whether it's your local hairstylist, your eye doctor. My eye doctor became a sponsor. He would buy my books in bulk and hand them out to his clients and to events that he was exhibiting at. And he also supported us by sponsoring some events for children when we were promoting our children's book. So you want to identify all the things that you have to offer. You have social media. You might have an email list. You have events that you speak at. Maybe you have the opportunity to put their information in your handout notes, in your note package. Perhaps if you have a book, you might be able to do a bookmark with your branding on one side, and on the other side is your sponsor's information. One of our clients actually did this. They were paid about $3,000 when they were launching the book. And on one side was the author's information of her book and her website and a couple of tips. And on the reverse side was the sponsor's brand and a coupon for, it was sort of a coupon that, and a link that you could go on to get a significant discount off his products. And that company paid the author $3,000 to be able to do that. And there's countless examples of things like that. But you also have the ability to share their story in media, not just in presentations. If you're doing media, podcast interviews, you can talk about them as a case study. You could also write blogs about them. So you're going to write down all the ways that you could support a sponsor, all the things that you have of value. And then the most important exercise you want to do is figure out, where the heck do I start? So how you do that is you write a list of everywhere you do business right now. And what I mean by that is, where do you spend your money personally and professionally? So for those of you that have a purse, look through your purse and see what kind of things you're buying. Look on your Visa card, your credit card statement to see where you're spending money. And think about things like health, fitness, insurance, cell phone, where you buy your groceries. These are all people and companies that could become sponsors for you. In fact, my first 40 sponsors, and you're actually going to want to put your seatbelt on for this news because it's amazing and shocking at the same time. My first 40 sponsors were all people I knew. None of them involved a cold call. I didn't have to pick up the phone and feel awkward or icky. I knew them all. I was in a relationship with them all. And there was no exchange of cash. This is really important to listen to. There was no exchange of cash. Each of those sponsors provided me with services or products in kind. So from my clothing to my hair to my jewelry, massages, 2 massages a month, my printing, my marketing, social media support, and the list went on. And collectively, the contributions that they made were $39,000 a year. And most of those were 3-year sponsorships. So over 3 years, you know, $39,000 a year. So let's round it up to 40. $40,000 a year was not coming out of my business or personal account. It was all through collaboration, finding the right people to partner with and collaborate with and being able to help them solve their problem. So the challenge I always give everybody is to pick one person or company that you do business with, where you know their name, the grocery store manager, where you fill up your car, the hotel you stay at all the time, your hairstylist, your eye doctor, pick one. And then I simply want you to have a conversation with them, to talk with them about what's important to them. What are some of the challenges they're dealing with as it relates to marketing? What audiences do they want to get in front of? Are there some ways that you could collaborate together? And what I'm certain you will find is that some of the people that you've known for years, and perhaps they're your friends or colleagues, there's going to be opportunities to partner with them, and you've just never thought of it because that's not how the relationship is based. One of our students, Pamela, who holds amazing events for women entrepreneurs, she shared at the, she's one of our students, and I was speaking at her event 2 months ago, and it was great because she came up and did a share of what had just happened to her. I had given her in our program an example of where they had to do this one call, and she was talking to a dear friend of hers who owns a lingerie shop in Canada, and they've been friends for about 30 years. And so Pamela went to her friend and said, you know, I've been challenged with this homework to talk to one person I know about the potential to collaborate. And in a very, very short time, Pamela and her lifelong friend of 30 years struck up a collaboration where this business
where her friend's business became the sponsor of her events and the sponsor of the gifts for the speakers, the volunteers, and she continues to support every event now. And what Pamela is able to do in return is she's able to tell the story of this lingerie shop. She provides the gifts to people in the audience. She provides a significant discount coupon. It's a great coupon gift certificate, actually, that she gives. And she's able to shout them out on social media. And it's you know, I don't use the word win-win, but what I do call this kind of a relationship, it's where everybody is winning. The end user, the client is winning, the people in the audience. The lingerie shop is winning. Their brand is getting exposed to new audiences, new potential clients. And then the event host, Pamela, is winning because she's able to offer things that she didn't offer before. And her events are now supported by other sponsors who get behind the marketing and messaging. So those are a few things that you can do to build sponsorship into your speaking model. It really is an untapped revenue source that so many speakers have not thought of. And then there's a whole other conversation that I'm sure I'll do on another summit with Tanya, is the conversation of if you're a speaker with books, you have the ability to get your book sponsored, where sponsors will buy them in bulk. We do that all the time now. We have sponsors, companies we deal with, who buy my books in bulk to give to their clients or to take to trade shows. In fact, my hairstylist, in addition to doing my hair for many, many years, she also bought my books by the box load, and she would take them anytime she was exhibiting at a trade show, and they had them actually in the salon to give to their clients and later to sell to their clients. So I want you to look at these relationships that you already have with people to see where there is some synergy and simply open up a conversation about how you can collaborate to make a difference together. And that's really what I wanted to share today, to get you all thinking about the incredible opportunities for this to become not only a revenue stream in your business, but more so an opportunity to take your brand, your expertise, and your message to a way bigger audience through having partners collaborate with you.